couple of months ago, we had a parish council meeting, and we were talking about where we were at as a church and what was in front of us. And as we kind of talked it through, we realized in a lot of ways that after about 5 years together as a church, we were really at a bit of a crossroads together. That it was time to make a move, to make a decision about what our next steps looked like. And on the one side, it felt like we could, we were just asking God, which of these two things is the right thing to do? Do we continue to just wait to launch as a church? Wait until we have a few more people. Wait till we have some more financial resource to be able to sustain that. Those kind of things, or is it time to, in faith, step out and just launch as a church and move out of a season of preparation and church planting and into an established season as a church? Both of those things felt like they came with some challenges, and it didn't just seem like a no-brainer. And so, as we talked as a council, and even in that time, just talked about the both sides of that fork in the road and considered it and prayed, the board asked me if I would go and just spend some time in prayer and come back to them, given our conversation and my time in prayer with what I felt like the Lord was kind of saying, how I thought he might be leading us, and then we could talk some more. And so I spent about 3 days at Stillwood just in prayer, and they were just sweet days. Went to ask the Lord, what's next for us as a church? And spent the bulk of that time just him and I talking more about where my heart was at. And isn't it so beautiful how the Lord often does that? We come in with our list, and he says, "Oh, it's a nice list. Why don't we set it aside and just spend some time together?" And that really felt like what it was like, spending that time together in prayer and considering. But as I prayed, the Lord really did begin to kind of lead me on a bit of a journey, and it started here in Genesis chapter 12, a passage of scripture and a story that's been very familiar to us as a church, very foundational for us as a church. This story of Abraham leaving his father's house and stepping out in faith to head out into the promises of God in obedience to the things that God was saying. Over the past 5 years, God has been forming and shaping this community in some beautiful ways. And many of you would quickly agree with me that what he's done and what he's established is so beautiful. It's become a rich and treasured part of our lives. These relationships, life together, many of the things he's done in our hearts as we've journeyed together. And in many ways over the last 5 years, he's really established us a really strong foundation, a really strong core group of people. And you are a part of that. As I got to Stillwood and started to pray, I realized though that at the same time, that's taken, and it's a journey that's been about 5 years. And so I don't know for you, but for me, looking backwards 5 years seems like a flash. It went so fast. But the other side of it is it also seems really long. I would love for things to happen much quicker than they do a lot of the time, especially when it comes to what God's doing. And so there was sort of a tiredness in me as I came to pray and to think about what's next, God. I didn't necessarily come in excited. I would say I came into that 3 days of prayer with the Lord sort of tired. And realizing as I went to pray about it, I needed to kind of be honest with the Lord that, to think about what's next, I needed him to do something in my heart because it felt like I didn't have it in me to go there again. I felt like, oh, okay, here I am, Lord, and same old question, here we go again. And I felt like, so the Lord just began to really minister to my heart and to prepare me to even ask him that question and especially to hear his answer. The questions that started to come when I started to get honest were questions like, Lord, what are we doing again? Why are we doing it? What is it exactly that you've called us to? What is it exactly that you've asked of us and are asking of us as we do this thing we call church planting? As we gather together, what are we doing? And it felt like I really needed for my own heart to come back to just a really clear understanding and a grasp on what is it that we are doing here? Because when you lose sight of that, you can get tired really fast. You can feel like you're sacrificing and pushing and working and planning and meeting and you're working through things. And if you can't remember, you lose track of why you're doing that. it's not long before you start to feel quite exhausted, quite tired in what you're doing. And so it was good to be able to sit with the Lord and pray those things. And I want to share with you some of what the Lord said to me in response to those questions, in response to my heart, partly because I want you to know the journey, but also because my guess is some of you may feel the same in your own lives and journeys. As you think about looking at life on the other side of the pandemic and heading out into this next season and getting ready for the fall and even specifically being part of Via Langley and being an active part of that, there might be parts of your heart that need to stop for a minute and say, okay, wait a second, what are we doing again? Why is this important? Why would I give so much of my life to this? And so I'll start with a reading from Genesis chapter 3, or Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read the first three verses. The story of Abram starts this way. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I'll show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The word of the Lord. It's amazing to me, this story, and how God began to speak to me in it, specifically for our church and for our season right now, and honestly, even just for my own heart. And the key word when I read it this time, this is a story we've looked at lots as a church. Some of you have been with us for a while will remember talking about this idea of a beautiful story being written one step at a time. Right? This was the story that we anchored that idea in. And so we come back to it in a fresh way. And the word that stands out to me in these first three verses and that really did in that time of prayer was this word of blessing. Over and over in those three verses, if you look at it, there's something important in God's heart. He's trying to make a point. He talks about blessing over and over and over again in these three verses. And what God began to show me was who you are as a church, what you're doing is you're doing something very similar to what Abram did. Is you're stepping out and you are realizing who you are, that you are the people of God. And part of what makes you the people of God is the blessing of God, that I will bless you. And so Abraham here steps out into a couple of things, but he steps out into blessing. And this promise to him is twofold as it relates to blessing. Number one, God promises that he will bless Abram and his family. And so Abram, as he steps out into this place of uncharted territory, all he knows is it's where God's told him to go. All he knows is it's what God's asked him to do. He knows very little details otherwise. But it's marked this journey, this adventure, by a beautiful promise. First of all, I will bless you. Second of all, the promise is also this, that you will be a blessing. So I will bless you. And then you will bless others. And it becomes the promise over Abram and over his journey. Now, this word blessing is worth talking about for a minute, just to get straight what it is that God means here. What is this word blessing? What does it mean to bless? I think in our day, sometimes it has come to mean almost like well wishes. You know, we bless you, you know, either that or it's the thing we say when someone sneezes and we're not sure why. You know, we bless you. You don't hear strangers. I have strangers say that to me in coffee shops sometimes. Since COVID, though, if you sneeze, people don't say bless you. They just run in fear. But we'll get back there. And, you know, it's sort of bless you is sort of happens when someone sneezes. Or even in the church, you hear it lots, but it almost has come to sort of mean like all the best, you know. You know, blessings, like we just, good things for you. And then it's not that that's not part of what God's saying, that there that is kind of part of it. But I love this definition of blessing. The blessing is to invoke or enact divine favor, often implying a positive disposition or kind action towards the recipient. But there is something about what God means here when he says blessing. He's saying, I am going to invoke or even enact, like make real in your life and in this moment, divine favor, something not even of this world. Abram, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to touch your life. I'm going to mark your life. I'm going to move in your life in a divine way. I'm going to set you apart as a people, and not just in the way that we can do that humanly, where we would draw lines and constitutions and sort of create sort of a set of partners. But God says, no, I'm going to do it in a supernatural way. So when he says, I'm going to bless you, he's talking about invoking, even enacting divine favor, that heaven is touching earth when God says, I bless you. And I think it's good for us to recognize this, and it was probably very important for Abram, especially when the journey started getting difficult, to remember that, wait a minute though, the hand of God is on me, that I've been blessed, and that means something significant for me and for my family and for what God's doing. What I love is then that God says, I will bless you. I will invoke divine favor upon your life. And one of the outworkings of that is then you as a people, Abram, you and your family will then bless the families around you. So then you will then begin to, you'll start to participate in the family business. I will bless you and bring you into this family, into be the people of God. And then as the people of God, you'll participate in the family business. The nations around you will be blessed. This act of blessing here in Genesis chapter 12 really starts, and it comes back up throughout Abram's story. God continues to remind him of it. But this act of blessing really is what establishes the people of God. It's this blessing of God on Abram and through Abram on his descendants that sets apart the nation of Israel, that makes them a chosen people. I'm going to use a little bit of a help today for me and for us. I want to talk about what it is as a church to be like this, to be a blessed people who are blessed to be a blessing. So you've in the situation of the story we've already had, you can see this, right? The Abraham on your screens now. You see that? Okay, perfect. I'm pretty good with tech, but sometimes I think I'm doing it right and I'm not. And I apologize for that. This meeting is being recorded right in the middle of our worship. It never used to do that. That's a new thing. But okay, so we have Abraham. And then here in Genesis chapter 12, we see Abraham's life change when God moves in his life and he blesses him. And in blessing Abraham, and we can keep reading through Genesis, see how this plays out, see how this story looks and unfolds. But ultimately, how the story ends up looking is through this act of blessing, God establishes Abraham as the father of a people. And so even in our tradition, but certainly in the Jewish tradition, they would refer to Father Abraham, right? The father of a nation. And this starts, it's started in this place of God's blessing. Abraham then, through his life and because of this blessing, we see a family that comes out. And this in the family, this blessing begins to mark them. They are the people of God because of the blessing of God. And this family begins to extend the blessing of God to the families of the world around them. Now, we know from the story and we know from history that in some ways, this reality got missed. It got lost often. And it so can be true of us as well, that God blesses us and we begin to hold on to that blessing as if it was for us. And it set us not apart to be a blessing, but set us apart to be separate. And so we become a family, a unique group of people who then are sort of isolated and there's no way in to that blessing. But we see right here in Genesis chapter 12, that was never the intention of the heart of God. When he established the people of Israel, it wasn't to the exclusion of all other nations, all other peoples. His heart was that that family, that people might be a blessing to the families and the nation, the world around them. And if they walked in that, and we certainly do see that throughout the Old Testament, if you look, they're beautiful moments where the people of God stand in that place and they allow the people around them, the nations around them, to be blessed because they are the people of God. What ends up starting to happen then, if they walk in that calling, is that they extend that blessing to the families of the world, and those families, those nations, are then able to be welcomed into the covenant family. And to be then become, having been blessed through the people of God, they become, just like Abraham was, a blessed people, set apart for God, and they also then start to enter in to be a part of the family business. So it comes this beautiful picture, this cycle of people coming into a blessing, into relationship, into covenant relationship with God, and then become a part of inviting others into that same thing. Now, what happens for us, and what God started to show me as I read it and I sat in it, was, Chad, you're asking me, what are we doing here? And why are we doing it? And how do we go about it? What is it that you've called us to do? I felt like God said to me, I am calling you to the same thing, the same way that I called Abram. That the church in so many ways is like the people of Israel. We are the people of God. And the church very much being a group of people who have been blessed by God. And we see this so clearly in places like Matthew 28, where God, Jesus, speaks out the Great Commission over his church. But to that same Great Commission getting picked up again in Acts 1 and Pentecost Sunday, we just had Acts chapter 2. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, comes down upon a group of people and they are blessed. And you can actually see, hear, experience this blessing as people begin to speak in tongues of every nation and the gospel is being preached. And this blessing of God is like tongues of fire. It said they could see it come and settle on the church. And in that way, this blessing of God, this divine favor, resting upon flesh and blood, establishes her as a family. And it's a family that looks like we talked about the other day, a unity with diversity. Men of every nation, tongue, tribe, coming together into a oneness, a cohesion, a unity, and all of that made possible by the blessing of God on the church. Now, the blessing of God on the church, just like on Abraham, then, it spawns, it spurs, it moves into this reproductive work that then a family grows and is added to in its number, and it becomes this beautiful picture. And if you read through the book of Acts, you see how the blessing of God on these people, then they become, like Abraham and the people of Israel, a blessed people who bless. They begin to walk out this blessing, and they extend the blessing of God to the families in the world around them. And so as that blessing is poured out around them into other lives, others come into relationship with Jesus and into covenant relationship with him. And so into the church, they become part of the family of God. And so the long and short of all of that is for us today is that I felt like what God was saying in answer to the things that I was praying was, Chad, you are planting a church. If the answer was not rocket science, it wasn't like a big epiphany. I already knew that, but it was like I needed clarity on what does that mean? What is it that we're doing? He says, Chad, you have been blessed to be a blessing. That I'm establishing this group of people as a local expression of that church. I've blessed you. There's a divine favor upon you to sound the clarion call of the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus with the lost and with the prodigal, to raise up the next generation in the way that they should go and in the truth and clarity of the good news of Jesus. And I've blessed you. I've already done that in your life and in our community already. The gospel is so established in us, and that has been a major blessing. It's not just because we read a lot, watched a bunch of YouTube videos, or committed ourselves to the learning. It is primarily because the Holy Spirit has been poured out in our lives. That as we've read and watched YouTube videos and studied and pressed into the Holy Spirit, there's been a divine favor upon our lives. We've been blessed. And we've been blessed to be a blessing. And so then my question became, I got cut, then all of a sudden I'm excited. Then I'm getting excited again because I'm like, I love what we're doing. I love get to be, okay, so Lord, how do we do that? Then my question came, the question the board had kind of given to me. How do we do that then, Lord? What does that look like for us as we move forward a season? What does it look like for us to both live in that blessing, to be an active people of God, living in the blessing of God? And number two, what does it look like for us to bless the world around us? And very particularly, what does it look like for us right now in this season? As we look towards the fall, God, what is it that you want us to be about? And so I'll share one more kind of graphic with you that was helpful for me. Those of you who are visually inclined, it might be helpful. Those of you who aren't will think, why is he doing this? So this is how I think it looks for us to walk this out. God's blessing has been poured out upon us. And ultimately, this starts at Pentecost, but we have experienced it over and over in our homes, in our families, in our lives, but certainly corporately as via Church Langley. We have experienced the divine favor of God as he's met with us, healed us, taught us, knit our hearts together in fellowship. Amazing things that have happened. I read like Acts 2:42 and following when it talks about what that, how that played out in the church. And as I read it, I get excited because I feel like the community we have, it looks like that in many ways. Sharing life together, growing together in the spirit, devoting ourselves to prayer and to teaching. And so this divine favor pours out and bursts or sets us, the church, the people of his presence, sons and daughters. And I love that the church gets talked about this way in scripture, that we are sons and daughters with a father, we are family. And so just like Abraham, we are a family, and there's a unity about that, a coming together. And so this church, it's blessed by God to be sons and daughters, and we're welcomed into that family at our baptism. So I'm so excited about this baptism coming up and being able to revisit all of our own baptisms and to think more about what this looks like. But baptism being the sacrament of Christian initiation, when we come into and are set, we're established in the church, we're brought into the household, into the covenant family of God. Right? And so this beautiful sacrament begins to be a major mark of the church and certainly is for us here at Via Langley. We are a church, a family of sons and daughters of God, brought into that by the sacrament of baptism, in worship together. And so as families, as a family, one of the big things that we do is we live in that blessing. We're a people of worship. And so we bring our lives together and we declare the good news of Jesus just as we worship. And we glorify him and we set Christ at the center, at the foundation of who we are. And we seek to see him be the most important part of who we are and what we do. That when people see us, Lord, let them see Jesus. Let them see that we are a people of divine favor, that we are a blessed people. Certainly, if anyone sees Jesus in our midst, they would have a hard time concluding anything other than they are certainly a blessed people. God is present with them. And so we come together as a family in worship and the sacrament of the Eucharist, so being the high point in that. But together we come and we celebrate in union, in communion together. And we recognize his presence with us. And we revel in glory and worship in his presence. So as a family of sons and daughters together in worship, we also then, as a worshiping people who live in that blessing, have together as a church, have together as brothers and sisters, as a family, inherited the family business. We've inherited mission to bless. And this is really exciting because you know the impact and the way that God's presence and working in your life has touched and shaped you. And so to think that we then get to be a part of others encountering and experiencing that blessing, I tell you, sometimes church becomes about so many other things and can even get so about other things that we begin to forget what it really is about. And we get tired really fast. We get disillusioned really fast because you think, what are we doing? I feel like God's saying to us as we look towards the fall, via Langley, just remember it's really simple. I want you to come and to live in the blessing of heaven. Be sons and daughters. Like Melinda so beautifully led us last week into a remembrance of our place in relationship and communion with God. But remember too that then you have the extraordinary and incredible invitation to come and to partner with that same God in that same work of blessing. I've blessed you, and through you, I want to bless the families, the businesses, the cities, the lives around you. Having inherited this incredible mission, as we live into that mission, we can trust that that God of blessing will bless others, and by in that reception, in that encounter, we will see many added to the family of God. As they experience that blessing, and make no doubt, many of them will experience it through you. That divine favor, that blessing of God, that call and that invitation into that relationship, God will extend it through you. He will extend it through us as a church. And as people hear it and encounter it, then they will be brought into the family of God. And then you just see, I try to draw this image as a circle that just keeps on going, because then they suddenly are welcomed into that church, and we will celebrate with them in the waters of baptism. And they will then become a part of the both the life and the worship of the church and the mission of the church. And together we will be a church that walks in those two things, a blessed people who bless the world around us. And by that, we have very high expectations, not small ones. We actually are talking, like I said, about divine favor, about heaven touching earth. Yeah. Not just about people feeling better about themselves, but about people having divine encounter with the living God. A passage that has been big for us at Via Apostolica as a whole, but in a special way for us here in Langley, has been John chapter 6, where we hear the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And in that story, you see as Jesus comes and he calls his disciples together, well, they kind of called him together. They realize we have all these people and they have no food. And you've preached longer than even Father Chad. This has gone on ad nauseum. They're loving it, but what they need to eat. We should send them home. Jesus says to them, and he knows exactly what he's doing, you feed them. In a way, what's happening here is this blessed group of 12, a group who have experienced divine favor, are now being sent out to extend that blessing to the world around them. You feed them. And they have a reaction, much like we might have when God says, okay, here comes the fall. Here's what we're going to do. They say, what? We can't do that. It would take years of wages. Do you understand how much that would cost, Jesus? Do you understand? We don't know how to cook. It's 5,000 people. This would take forever. The logistics are just too crazy. We all these things start to happen for them. And I think it's okay for us to realize that sometimes when the Lord's calling us forward into new things, we might have some of the similar reactions. And I love how Jesus in response says, what do you have? Well, let me see. So they start to ask around. And it's kind of funny to me, but of 5,000 people, only one small boy brought lunch. But anyways, they realize all they have is one small boy's lunch. However that came about, and Jesus said, so they bring it to Jesus thinking, maybe this will make our point and we can get on with a simpler, you know. Jesus says, perfect, bring me that lunch. Now they're thinking, uh-oh. Okay, he means this. So they bring him what they have. And if you look at the story, I love the language in light of what we've been talking about today. What does Jesus do with the lunch? He blesses it. He invokes divine favor upon it. And suddenly what they have is able to do what one boy's lunch could never do. And they step out in faith, these 12 guys, and they feed 5,000. And when they're done, each of them has a basket for themselves. That the blessing of God was enough. That it did make it possible for them to walk out the calling of God in their lives. A blessed people now has become a people who bless. And as I prayed, and as this story actually came up for us about 3 years ago, so I felt a lot of what God was doing at Stillwood was just saying, I already talked to you about this. It's just now is the time. And so I felt like he said to me, Chad, I want you guys to launch in the fall. I want you to step out in faith. I want you to go for it. But I want you to do it. All I'm asking you to do is bring me what you have. Because the thing we wrestled with, even as a board, is we said, but Lord, we don't have, in order to launch, and our idea of what launch would look like at the time was, we don't have the financial resources, and we don't have the numbers. And the last thing I want to do is to run out into something and then realize we can't keep it going. Or to step out into something and realize we're just burning the few people that we have out, left, right, and center, to try and keep it going, you know. And God says, yeah, but Chad, what would it look like for you to launch with what you have? And that question all of a sudden opened up some exciting things for me. And I've had a great opportunity to share these with our board. They're very excited and in support. And then we had a core team kind of get together the other day and ran it by them. And again, really excited. And so we're excited to share with you practically what we feel like it is that God's calling us to as we look towards September. We're going to come and we're going to bring in what we have. And the first thing we're going to do, and we'll finish our time together this way today, is we're going to ask him to bless it. We're going to bring him what we have, and we're going to lay it before him, and we're going to let him bless it. Because as God pours out his blessing, then we become something we weren't before. We become a people blessed to be a blessing. And so if we just stepped out in our own strength and with our own strategies and our own things, it didn't really matter, even if we just were really realistic about bringing only what we have, I think we'd still be in trouble, but that Jesus blessed what we have. And so we're going to come and we're going to do that. We're going to pray. But then what it looks like for us specifically is as we step into the fall, what we're envisioning is being able to gather together in worship every weekend, once a week. And so we're going to stay, though, with the same rhythm that we've had now for a number of months. On one weekend, we'll gather all of us in the same place. We'll gather together to celebrate the Eucharist. And I don't need to explain what that'll look like too much, because if you've been with us, you've already seen it. It'll be very similar to what we've done when we've gathered before the COVID and even inside of COVID. For a time of worship, all of that culminating at the Lord's table and just celebrating worship, living in that blessing together, glorifying God and celebrating the good news of the gospel together. And so we'll do that on a Saturday night, the one weekend. On the week that follows, we'll get together in the morning on Sunday, just like we have been. But what we're going to do, and this is the exciting new bit, is that we're going to start to meet together on some Sunday mornings in homes. And so we have three different homes that I'm in conversation with and just getting the details pinned down. So hopefully we'll be able to tell you more of the specifics of those homes and things coming very quickly. But the hope is that we would lock into one of those homes. And on that week, we would get together and do a few things together. We'd spend some intentional time in prayer and worship and in the Word together. And in a way that you can in a home different even than in a large gathering where we have chance to be able to talk together and hear each other's stories and discuss and dialogue and kind of go deep into the Word together that way. We'll spend time in prayer and worship. We're developing a bit of a short liturgy for those home gatherings so so that there's some consistency and some intentionality about that, but also so that there's not a whole lot of prep work needed for leaders. And we can just come in together and just worship and live into the gospel together in those homes. And then the other thing that we want to do whenever we meet in those homes is share a meal together. And so we'll spend time in worship, and then we'll come to the table, but we'll come to our tables. And suddenly this picture comes back to me that the Lord gave me a number of years ago now. And when he did, the weekend kind of when he'd given it to me, Anya actually, in the midst of worship, would have been younger than she is now. I'm trying to think. She probably would have only been about 7 or 8. And she was in the midst of worship. God gave her a picture, and she drew it for me. I should show it to you maybe after. I'll go grab it. I can show you. And it was exactly the picture God had given me of where I thought he was taking us. And it was this idea of, on one part of it, it was a picture of the Lord's table and the Eucharist set out on it. And she drew two angels over it. And in a way, I just felt like that speaks so beautifully to this divine favor, that there's a heaven touching earth there at the Lord's table, that we would worship there as a community. But then right underneath it, she drew a picture of a house. And in that, around that house, she put those same two angels. And there was this recognition that, in a way, what we do at the Lord's table, we then receive that blessing, and we live in the goodness of Jesus and the good news of Jesus, and then we carry that out into our lives. And so when we gather in our homes and we come to our tables, we can expect very much that Jesus would be as present at our tables as he is at his, and that people would commune there and encounter him and experience the blessing of God there. The divine favor that heaven will touch earth there in these homes as well. And so we are planning and preparing and inviting you to be praying with us, but also to be expecting and encourage you to just be praying about how you'll respond when maybe you even get tapped on the shoulder in the next weeks and months about how you could come and be a part of the fall. One of the things we anticipate is that as we do that in the fall, we're going to see, and even just coming out of COVID, we're going to see new families. We're going to see new people who are coming and wanting and hungry to receive the blessing of God, to come into relationship with him. And so we get to then, as a church, really step out into this place like the guys did in John chapter 6 and begin to be an active part of the mission of God, both living in the blessing, but also blessing others. We would love to, and so you can pray about this with us, we would love to get to the point where we were able to do our home gatherings and our Eucharist gatherings at the same time every week. Ideally, we'd love to do both on Sunday morning. In the fall, we'll still be Saturday night for the Eucharist, but just be praying about that, because the reason we wouldn't be able to go to Sunday yet, it would be, we would need a venue. And that comes with just, number one, we'd have to find a venue that was available Sunday morning. And also, we'd have to be able to afford that. And so we're just trusting God for the timing of that. That might be a little ways down the way, but we'd love to get to it on the same, so that as families, you, but especially those who will be new to us and coming, can kind of get a better rhythm and be able to just say. And we've also I've talked with some of our families, and especially some of our moms, about Sunday morning probably being the better time for young children. Certainly better than Sunday night. Or Saturday night. And so just, we're praying about that. So pray with us about that, and just that God would lead us and give us wisdom as we tweak and figure out how all that's supposed to look. The home liturgy that we'll do on those homes, we're really excited about, but pray for us as we build that. Get ready to be kind of asked questions and to be contributing to some of that. We're wanting a few things around that. We wanted to be able to build some consistency into our weeks together. We wanted to be able to build some consistency between what happens Saturday, like a Eucharist service altogether, and what happens in the homes. We also wanted to be able to really involve and engage our children. And so we'll be definitely shaping that as we go and just living into something that really serves well in those spaces. Pray for us in that. Over the spring and summer, we'll be just putting teams in place, getting ready to both host those Eucharist services and those home gatherings. As we do that, if you think, I want to be a part of that in a more intentional way, you tap us on the shoulder too. Let us know how you, how, what you can see. I'd like to do this, right? Wonder if I could help this way. Please let us know that, but as well expect that we'll be coming. We're going to, for example, already on Saturdays, already we're going to be meeting in person, which means we're going to need some people to help us host and welcome people, make sure that we're doing things well so people are safe physically with still some of the COVID things. And things. There's all kinds of things coming from that to places of leading prayer and just welcoming people in homes and stuff. Pray for our kids in this, both on the large group gatherings and the home gatherings. We're excited as we head into the fall to really strategically and actively think about how to bring them into the middle of all of this with us in an even more exciting and intentional way. We're excited that this rhythm feels sustainable to us. I feel like we brought God our lunch, this one boy's lunch, asked him to bless it, and he gave us a plan that feels like it won't burn us out. It feels like we can do this, and we're actually kind of excited about it as a church. That we can, with what we have, we can do this in a sustainable way, which is such an answer to prayer. We're excited about this new idea because this new idea really makes cool opportunity and space for mission. When we talk about both living in the blessing, but also extending that blessing, we're excited about the fact that some will be most comfortable to come to a large group gathering for the first time. And so our large group gatherings, our Eucharist services will be such a great place for people who are new to faith or on a journey to come. But we know too that many of our friends, people that we know, might find that way too over the top, too overwhelming, but a home that they would come to come into with a friend, to come for a service in a home and to have a meal together. And so we're really excited about how it opens up a couple of doors into our community in some unique ways. Be praying about that. And even thinking about your neighbors and your friends and who God might lay on your heart to extend that blessing to and say, you're welcome to come and join us. Pray for us as we build and design both of those gatherings. Missionally, as we think about those who are new to faith, new to church, coming back to faith, and just that we would know and have wisdom with how to build those gatherings, how to design them, how to lay them out so that there's lots of room for people to just come as they are and be experience that divine favor, experience that heaven touching their lives. Jesus encounters. There's awareness that as we step into this, we may grow. And at this point, we're excited about this way of doing it for two reasons. Number one, it seems really scalable. If the home groups start to really expand and grow, then we get to just open up more homes. And so it's very easy for us to keep facilitating and bringing people in if we have need for more space. It's easy to, and at that point, that some of the people God has brought will be part of that. Right? They will have come into the blessing of God and they'll say, why don't you come use our home? I love Luke 5, Jesus with Luke, the tax collector. Luke experiences the blessing of God and the next thing you know, Jesus is at Luke's house having dinner with Luke and all his friends. So we see such incredible opportunities for those kinds of things to happen. The other thing though is that in the big picture, we may walk in a rhythm like this for the rest of our life as a church, and I think we'd be actually quite excited about that. But the other thing is we could also, as we grow, if we get to a point in a year or two where God says, you know what, I think it would make sense to meet every week as a large group for the Eucharist, we would just be able to keep those home gatherings, but be able to shift them into the week. And so it feels like God's given us a plan for today, but one that is full of excitement and promise for tomorrow. It also feels a bit, to come back to Genesis 12, and then we're going to pray, like Abram's journey, in that we stand in a place, or like those guys on the mountain with 5,000 hungry people in front of them, where God's given us a plan, but it's missing tons of the details. And so I just want to remind us again, as we step out into this, we can step out excited with big hearts and anticipation, even though at certain moments, all we have is faith and obedience. We won't have all the answers. Some of the things we'll try, we'll need to come back and readdress and tweak and change and grow with this and walk this out. But it's going to look much like Abram's journey looked. as he zigged and zagged throughout the promised land and around it, and through it. But through all of it, we would remind each other, man, isn't it cool to be sons and daughters? Isn't it cool to know the blessing of God in our lives? Isn't it amazing that my heart cries out, Abba, Father? And we will participate throughout the journey, wherever we find ourselves, whatever it looks like, in homes, in large gatherings, in our daily lives, expectantly looking for the ways that God would bless the world around us through us. And so we're really excited about what's coming in the fall, excited to let you all know, both so you can get excited too, so you can consider your place in that. And we'll have lots of chance to talk about that over the summer, but also so that you can pray with us. And so in the next week or two here, we'll update our Echo Prayer app and we'll get some things in there so that we can be praying actively together as we look towards the fall. Pray, I'll let you know probably the next couple of weeks who the leaders in those homes will be, but even now, before you even know that exact, pray for that. Pray for those homes and the establishment of those places, and that God would really orchestrate that. That they would be the right homes and the right leaders, and the Lord would have grace and just be preparing them for that. Yeah. One more thing. As we make this transition, we've had a bit of a transition in our parish council. So our board, or what in other churches you might have known as an elders board, at Via Church Langley is called the parish council. And our parish council made an incredibly exciting step in the last couple of weeks. For the last 5 years, we've had four incredible men on our parish council, all of them, though, from other Via churches, other priests who have supported me so well. A couple of weeks ago, Father Stephen and Father Rob, we had a great time of prayer and blessing as we released them from the parish council. Father Lawrence, who is the priest in Comox, and Pete Roos, who is one of their parish council, have agreed to stay on our parish council. So they're still part of that parish council. But as well, we've had the exciting move of being able to bring two local people onto our parish council. And so Sarah Maynard and Alec Maynard. So Sarah and Alec have both come on to our parish council. And it's exciting because they're awesome. And they're really, I mean, I'm excited about it for that reason. But as a church, I think we should stop and recognize this is really exciting. That as a church, we're growing. And God is establishing us. And to even just have people locally now standing in that place. And I'm really thankful to God, and I've really spent some time just praising him for how he's established us and got us to the point where we could do that. Just really excited to have Sarah and Alec with us on the parish council, and lots of good things happening there. Please pray for them as they step into that new role, as they step into that new place in our community, but also be able to reach out to them. And to talk with them. If there's questions that you have or ideas or things that you want to bring forward, you can always bring those to Alec and Kat, or to Alec and Sarah as well. And they can speak to those things and be part of bringing those to our council as well. So really excited about that, and really excited to have them there. It's good. Lots more that I could go on about what God's doing right now at Via Langley, but for the sake of time, we'll bring it to a close. What I think I'll do is, just as we close, I want to pray. And especially, like I said, we're going to bring this plan. We're going to bring these things that God's laid, and we're going to bring our church. We're going to bring who we are to the Lord, like those men did in John 6, brought the little boy's lunch. And we're going to ask Jesus to bless it. And I'm going to ask, actually, Monica, if you would mind praying for us in that way. I know there's lots of us who could, and we could, over the summer, I'd love if we got some time too as a church to just pray together a couple of times. And so we'll let you know about those opportunities. But right now, for this morning, as we look at the future, we recognize the need we have for God to just pour out his spirit on us, to bless what he's given us. I'm going to ask Monica if she would just lead us in prayer. Great.
Sure. Oh, Lord, we bring ourselves before you just feeling very aware of how small we are, how small the ingredients are, but also recognizing how much love you have put in this community, how much unity and goodness you have built over time in a small group of loaves and fishes. And we want to stay small before you. We want to stay humble before you and to celebrate the things, the words that you are giving us, the blessing that you are putting over these ingredients. That's not small. And we praise you for it. And we ask that we would be a people that steps into knowing and understanding and claiming and wearing your blessing in more real and true and visible ways than we have ever known how to do before. We praise you for the things that you have told us as a church this morning and for the vision that we get to step into in these coming months. We pray that you would continue to knit us close to one another and to yourself, that you would continue to write mission over us and family over us, that you would bless the homes that you are setting up for the fall to be these new containers of versions of this church all over Langley. And we pray that you would fill us with your joy and your excitement for these things that are coming, that you would fill us with hope and good questions and deep friendship, and that we would know the friendship of Jesus as we step into these things together. And we ask that you would, that you would continue to show each person what their role is going to be, or even slowly, but you would be the one sort of rolling that tape out for each person and each family and the homes that get set up, and that you would build the Eucharist in our hearts so that when we gather together, it is an explosion of the things that you yourself are building. We give you all of these things, Lord, and we ask you to help us to continue to hold them loosely and open in our hands. And that we would learn how to do that together, to call one another to stand side by side with our hands, not grasping at these things that you have shown us, but just continuing to see that they are small and to see that you are big, and to thank you for the fact that we all get to participate in this. It's in your name that we pray and continue to hand you all of these things. Amen.